It's Christmas. And as I walk through the streets of Osaka and ride my bicycle, I see many Christmas lights. And when I am in the store shopping, I hear Christmas carols. And sometimes I'm beginning to wonder if I am back in Florida, in the United States, or whether I'm in Osaka. But I'm also thinking that many people in Osaka are wondering, what is all this commotion? What are we all doing? Why are we lighting these lights and singing these carols? What is it all about? Because many who live in our city do not really understand what it is to celebrate Christmas. Wow. And perhaps part of the process of being a Christian in this town is to share the good news of Jesus. And I'm very happy to be part of that. I was raised in a home where, unfortunately, we talked about the meaning of Christmas, but we didn't display it very much in our lives. We really didn't. We weren't Christian people, but we knew that we celebrated Christmas because of the birth of Jesus. My parents were very kind and very loving people, but they never told us about it, the Lord and Savior. But Christmas morning was a very important day at our house. We would look forward each morning, Christmas morning, to coming down and opening up our presents and be very excited. And my brothers, I have two brothers and two sisters, we would look forward to that morning. But I remember when I was a small boy, about 7 years old, my parents sat us down on Christmas Eve, and they knew we were all excited about Christmas. And they asked us this question, my brothers and I, my sisters were not yet born. They said, do you appreciate the special gifts you get at Christmas? We said, oh, Mom and Dad, yes, we do. Thank you so much. We are so looking forward to tomorrow morning. And my dad, he said it in a very low voice. Well, boys, I want to talk to you about this. He said, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to go back to your bedrooms, and could you please get the Christmas gifts that you got last year, and can you put them under the Christmas tree to show your appreciation for the gifts that you have already received a year ago? My brothers and I, we went back to our bedroom, and I said to my older brother, I said, where are these gifts? It has been 1 year. And my older brother said to me, he said, Brian, forget where they are. I don't even know what they are. It's been so long. Well, today, as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate not only the gift that Jesus Christ has given to us, salvation, because he has come to pay the price for our sins. But Christmas is really the pinnacle of history up to that point. It is the most important event of the entire history of mankind, that God, who created us, is now sending Jesus to be with us. Of course, we haven't celebrated what we celebrated Easter yet, because that will be the next pinnacle. Because not only did Jesus come to be born to save us from our sins, but Jesus came to be crucified. And when he was crucified, he rose from the dead. And with his rising from the dead, we hear from the message of the Bible that Jesus ascended to heaven. And when he went to heaven, he sent to us the Holy Spirit. And today I want us to focus on something beyond the obvious of being celebrating the birth of Jesus. I want us today to focus on why the Holy Spirit has come. Because the beauty of being a Christian is the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. And his ministry is to help be my director, my guide. He helps me have peace. He helps me to, when I pray to God, he takes my prayers to God perfectly to heaven. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm praying the best prayer, but the Holy Spirit takes them to God the Father, and God the Father hears them perfectly because of the Holy Spirit in my life. Wow. Well, today, the message is entitled, Unwrapping Our Spiritual Gifts. Unwrapping the spiritual gifts that God has given us. So I want us to focus today on these special things that we call our spiritual gifts. So that will be our message. Let's pray before we start. Lord, I pray today that as we look at your word, that you will help us discover the value of spiritual gifts. Lord, let us to recognize as Christians that you have given us these very special capabilities so that we can help one another together as Christians and that we can reach the world with the message of Jesus. So let us today begin this message, unwrapping our spiritual gifts. Here's a couple of verses that will help us. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. You see, we don't get to choose our spiritual gifts, do we? God chooses them for us, and he gives them to us. So we don't get to choose them. God chooses them for us. His Holy Spirit is the one who distributes them. But the Apostle Paul, who writes the letter to the 1 Corinthians, he says, Look, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know why you're getting these gifts. So today, I hope I can explain some of this for you in our message, because regardless of whether it is the Christmas season or not, many people that I talk to, they will tell me, Pastor Brian, I am not sure what my purpose in life is. What am I supposed to be doing here? So perhaps today, as we unwrap our spiritual gifts, we can discern our purpose on this earth, because God has given us a purpose. Today I want to consider a passage in Scripture that helps us understand and helps us to, if you will, unwrap our spiritual gifts. So let's look at the slide from Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. Let me read it with you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, let me remind you, this is not an all-inclusive list. There are other spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. But today, we're just going to focus on these. Let me start with verses 1 and 2. It says, Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what I can learn from that? That not only do we worship God by coming and singing and reading God's word together, but when we do things for God, that is our spiritual act of worship. The things that we do are a way of worshiping God. It says, Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this under the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit, he calls believers to experience an ongoing transformation. Basically, these two verses suggest to us that to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're to be transformed by the renewing. It sounds very difficult, doesn't it? Maybe I can boil it down for you. I believe God is telling us this. He wants us to begin a new way of thinking. By the renewing of our minds, he says, I want you to think in a different way than you used to. Because before, you were filled up with the things of the world. Now that you are Christians, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit's presence, now I want you to think differently. So the first new way of thinking is revealed to us in verse 3. It says, For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. You see, the first aspect of this Christian transformation or this new way of thinking is humility. You see, the prevailing thought of the day was Greek philosophy, wasn't it? What did the Greeks think? The Greeks thought, hey, we are better than everybody, and it is okay to think of yourself more highly. That's the way we are supposed to think if we are thinking of ourselves in a worldly way. But God says, no, reverse that. I want you now, with humility, consider yourselves less important than the other person. Wow, it was a very much of a different thought for them. Remember what it said in his word from Proverbs 16:8. It says this about when we're not exercising humility. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. When we start thinking high thoughts about ourselves, guess what? Crash. We're going to fall. You see, when we stand on the pedestal of our lives and tell everybody how wonderful we are, I think God wants to knock us off that pedestal so we can think again. With the renewing of our minds, God will tell us we are supposed to be thinking about humility. Well, the second aspect of Christian transformation is found in verses 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The second aspect of Christian transformation, there is unity in diversity. That again is a very difficult concept to understand, isn't it? There is unity when we are all different. I like it in verse 5, where it says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Of the three observations I want to make, the first one is unity in diversity. Our body has many members. Our bodies. This body of believers here at OIC, there are maybe 100 members today. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Wow. How can each member belong to all the others? And how can we be one body, yet we are 100 different people? What is it that connects us? This. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. When we are Christians, at the moment we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. So the same Holy Spirit that lives in you lives in me. Wow. And that's how we, as one body, are made up of many members. But we become one body because we are united in Christ, because the same Holy Spirit that lives in you lives in me. Isn't that good? So when we are together, we have a special group on Friday nights called the Kindred Spirit. And the Kindred Spirit means we have something in common. And the Holy Spirit of God is what we have in common. And it is fun to be together and to have a sense of understanding that we serve God together. The second aspect, or the second thing I understand about unity in diversity is that every member is important. There is not one person in our group today that is not important. I live over at Morning Area Station. I live in a group of apartments called the UR Chintai. And there are maybe, in my building alone, 2,000 people. But there are 9 buildings there, so maybe there are maybe 15,000 people that live only a few hundred yards from me. Guess what? We make a lot of garbage. We make a lot of garbage. We do. And there is always stuff on the ground, but we have a group of workers there. They are called the JS workers, or the Japan Services people. They work very hard. Some of them are sweeping the leaves. Some of them are washing the floors, the tile floors. And some of them, their only job is to pick through the garbage and to find what is pet plastic. I can be honest with you. The Osaka garbage system, Musukashi. We have many, in our apartment, we have many trash barrels. Plastic, pet plastic, paper. There's no room for our furniture except for all the trash barrels. And when I take it down, I'm surprised each of the places I can put it. But even the lady that is there sorting through the trash, she feels very important. And they all work in harmony together. Wow. I love to watch. Every morning I go down, not every morning, some mornings I go down. At 6:30 or 7 o'clock, they're doing calisthenics. Start. Somebody must. And they all go out together. It's fun to watch them. I wanted to join them, but they can recognize me as a gaiji, and I probably don't fit in. But it would be okay. I love to see they work together with harmony. The JS workers. Wow. You see, every member is important in that group. And every member as Christians is also very important. Well, the third thing I wanted to think about under unity in diversity is that every member depends on all the other members. Every member depends on all the other members. Wow. No part of the body of Christ can do everything. So let me illustrate that for you. Once upon a time, can you go with me here? Once upon a time, kind of like a children's story, there were a group of animals. They lived in the forest. And they got together. And they said, you know, life would be much better if every one of us could do everyone else's thing. So if we each learned what each of us can do, then life would be much better. Huh. Okay. So they got together. There was a duck, a rabbit, a squirrel, and an eagle. And they set up a school. And the activity curriculum was pretty straightforward. They had a curriculum that they were using, and their curriculum included running, climbing, swimming, and flying. Well, the duck, he took the courses at the school. He was excellent at swimming. Oh, he was top of his class. He was very good. But he was very poor at running. He could not run well. He was pretty good at flying. He was not so good at climbing. But he decided not to practice his swimming very much so that he could concentrate on the running. But as hard as he tried, he still ran like a duck. Pretty soon, you know what happened? His webbed feet, they got holes in them. And even when he went to go swimming, he tried hard, but he could not swim fast anymore. Oh, he said, this is not right. Now the rabbit, there's the rabbit. The rabbit, he started at the top of his class in running. Ah, he was fast. He was very quick. But he developed a nervous twitch in his muscles because he had to take so much makeup, extra work in swimming. He was a good runner, but he was not such a good swimmer. And pretty soon he got tired of taking all the exercise. And when it came time for him to run, he was tired. He could not run. The squirrel, there he is. The squirrel, he was an excellent climber. He was good. But he was always frustrated in flying class. He thought it would be okay if he climbed to the top of the tree and jumped off and flew that way. Yes! But the instructor said, no. You must first climb to the top and then you can fly. Ugh. He did not like this. He did not like it. He developed a Charlie horse. I don't know if you know a Charlie horse, but a sore in his leg because of all the extra exertion he got from trying to climb. And he also was not so good at running after that. Now the eagle, he was also at the school. The eagle. The eagle was a bad boy. He was a bad boy. He was a problem child at the school. Maybe some of you are teachers. Maybe you have one or two problem children at your school. Well, the eagle was a problem child because he was severely disciplined because he did not want to conform. And in climbing classes, he was the first to get to the top of the tree. And the instructor said, how could you get there so fast? He said, look, I'm not going to follow the rules. I get to the top of the tree my own way, so I flow here. Wow. The point of the story is pretty obvious, isn't it? Like the animals, every person has his own special but limited set of capabilities. So we try to operate outside of those capabilities. When we do, it produces frustration and discouragement. So we each must operate best within the kingdom of God when we function according to God's sovereign design for us. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given us the spiritual gifts. So I think it is important for us to focus on the primary gifts that we got and do not try to do all the things within the body. Well, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, has shown us that Christian transformation produces humility. Secondly, unity and diversity. Now let me see if I can show you how these all work together in a very practical way. Yeah. So the third aspect of Christian transformation, or this new way of thinking, is it produces ministry. It produces ministry. Let's look at the slides, Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. I like verse 6a. I have it from the New American Standard. It says, since we have these gifts, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So if you have this gift, God says to please use it. I found three primary benefits of exercising our spiritual gifts. I found three of them. Number one, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. What does the scripture say? It's in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether we're eating, whether we're drinking, whatever we do, let everything we do glorify God. Wow, how special if we used our gifts to glorify God. It's okay, I think we're all going to eat and we're all going to drink and we're all going to do things. But how special if we used our spiritual gifts to glorify God by serving His people. Secondly, others will be edified. Others will be edified. What does that mean exactly? You see, the gifts are given to build up the body to make the body feel more comfortable and to feel like they are ministered to on our behalf. Let me illustrate that for you if I can. Because each of us has a different job to do. Let's imagine, here we go. Let's imagine that God owns a restaurant. Okay? That God owns a restaurant. You all with me? How many people have gone to a restaurant before? None of you. Well, there's lots around. You're here in Osaka. I've been to them. God owns a restaurant. Okay? And if you know how a restaurant works, everyone there has a different job. So if you go in, you have a waitress, you have a cashier, you have someone who does cooking, you have someone who maybe just takes care of everything in the refrigerator, and maybe you have someone who is just greeting at the door. We each have a different job in the restaurant. Okay, here we go. Let's imagine that a customer comes into the restaurant. We wait him very nice. I live here now. And we greet him. He comes and he sits down at a table. And the waitress comes over to him. What will you have? And he says, I'm not very hungry today. I would like one order of toast. One order of toast. That's so difficult. The waitress takes it back. She said to the kitchen, one order of toast. One order of toast. But in the kitchen, there was no one there to make toast. So the man that is running the refrigerator, he says, I don't know. I'll try. I've seen it done before. You take two pieces of bread. And I got that. We do something with this bread for maybe 2 minutes, but I'm not sure. I know what I'll do. I'll put the bread in my refrigerator. Yeah, I will wait 2 minutes. 2 minutes goes by. Get the toast. He gets the toast. He puts it on a plate. He gives it to the waitress. The waitress takes it. Brings it to the customer. Toast. This is not toast. This cold bread. This is not toast. It's the same with our spiritual gifts. When we are supposed to do something and no one is there to do it, the job doesn't get done. Or it gets done poorly, doesn't it? Now, God has given all of us spiritual gifts. So when a member of our congregation, that would be the customer, needs something, we should easily be able to provide it for him instead of asking the person that runs the refrigerator to make toast. Maybe we are asking the person who is the preacher to be the one who is to hang up the signs. Well, he could do it, but it would be better if somebody who was good at hanging up signs could do that. Yes. So each of us has a special job to do. Try to utilize that. You can go to that restaurant later if you want to. I'm hoping that everyone has shown up today. And the third thing, you will be satisfied. You see, knowing and using your gift will allow you to discover your purpose for living. I said earlier, many people I talk to say, Pastor Brian, I don't know what my purpose in life is. I'm just here. I am not happy. But sometimes we wonder what our purpose is within the body of Christ, and our spiritual gifts will allow us to be satisfied there. Because we have a sense of fulfillment and joy when we serve others. How many go to work every day? Only three of you. Well, unemployment is bad. How many go to work every day? Everybody, mostly. How many of you have a job description? Do you have a job description? You know what you're supposed to do there? Good. At least Sarah does anyway, and Brad does. Yeah, Sarah and Rosemary. Yeah, we have a job description. Guess what? Within the body of Christ, God has given us a job description. What is it? It's our spiritual gift. That's our job description. Huh. We don't know what to do. Ah, but I have this spiritual gift. This is what I'm supposed to do. For some people, that spiritual gift is administration. So if you are good at administering things, good. For some, it is teaching and preaching. Good, you should be doing that. Yes. So if you're wondering what your job description here is, within the body of Christ, it's there. It's there. Let me conclude. Let me make this point first. And we talked about this at our Kindred Spirit group on Friday night. Someone asked me, Pastor Brian, what is the difference between a talent and a gift? A talent and a spiritual gift. Are they the same? No, they're not the same. A talent is a very nice thing to have. A talent is something that may be genetic. Maybe we were born with this special talent. My lovely and beautiful wife, she's born with this special talent to play piano. But my only job with the piano is maybe to move it to a different place. It's not to play it. Some people are very wonderful artists. But I took art in high school, and my teacher told me to please change courses. Because, Brian, your artwork is not so good. Find something you're better at. So I took all I didn't. A talent is something we can be trained in our training to get better at, right? Maybe if you are a pianist or an artist, you can train and develop your talent. That's good. But our spiritual gift, that's something that is given to us after we have received Christ as Lord. The moment we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It is instantaneous. And within that process, the Holy Spirit is going to give us spiritual gifts. Wow. And when we recognize that, there is a big difference between a talent. See, you may be a talented person, and you can also have spiritual gifts. My wife is a very fine Christian with many spiritual attributes, and her spiritual gifts are in administration. She likes to do administration. She keeps all of the books at our house. Ooh, very nice. She likes the house to be just so, ooh, ah, yes. I'm afraid my job is to help her find purpose by administering our lives. Works for us. So with the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, what I'm really trying to tell you is this. Unless we are born again Christians, unless we have found Christ as Lord, we do not have spiritual gifts. Before our salvation, the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives was this. It was to, if you're not yet a Christian, God has gifts waiting for you to open. But our primary purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is this. John 16:8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us or makes us have a sense of need to do something about the sin in our lives. It will make us feel badly. We will feel badly. He himself, the Holy Spirit, will convict us of the sins. And within that framework, we will have a need within our hearts to have Christ to pay the price for our sins. Wow. So let me conclude by saying this. Three quick things. They're coming up here right now. Spiritual gifts are given to Christians. Yes. It's very nice to be a Christian, and we have these spiritual gifts. It's very nice. Secondly, if you are not yet a Christian, God has gifts waiting for you. He has gifts waiting for you. When we have found Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit has these special gifts, special things, special job descriptions for us to do. within the kingdom of God. And thirdly, when you are functioning in your gift, ministry will be a joy, not a burden. I see so many people that are trying to do something beyond their spiritual gift, and working in the kingdom is such a burden for them. They are not happy. They are trying hard. But when they are functioning within their spiritual gift, yata! They are very happy. Yes, it's very nice. I love to do this. So, unwrap your gifts and use them for God's glory. Let me conclude today by asking you, the Christians here today, let me get serious for a moment, if I might. I'm asking the Christians only, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what it is? Wow. They are found throughout the scriptures. That list I gave is not all inclusive. Do you know what your gift is? Some of you are saying, yes, I know. Don't get them confused with the gifts of don't get them confused with the love, joy, peace. Those are not spiritual gifts. Those are fruits of the Spirit. The spiritual gifts are the jobs we are supposed to do for God's kingdom. So maybe you come to church on Sunday and you're saying, I don't know what my job is. What am I supposed to do here? So I'm asking you, very seriously, do you know what your gift is? And if you do, let's do it together. Your gift, my gift, someone else's gift at OIC will be a wonderful place to come to, as it is now. But we can make it even better if we are all using our special spiritual gifts. You see, I don't want you to be like my older brother on Christmas Eve, when we went back to our bedroom, and I said to my brother, where are the gifts we had last year? And my brother said, forget where they are. He said, I don't even know what they are. So today, I'm talking to you about unwrapping your spiritual gifts and using them to glorify God, to edify people, and to make you feel much better about yourselves. Let me pray. Lord, I pray today a special blessing on those who came. Lord, I pray a conviction of your Holy Spirit in those who are not yet Christians, that they would discover within their heart, Lord, the conviction you've given them, a need for a Savior. That's why we celebrate Christmas. You have sent us Jesus. It's why we'll celebrate Easter when Christ has been crucified for us. So I praise you and thank you, Lord. May we be seen this week as Christians who are passionately in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, Amen.